You have your place in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Let's stand in honor of God's word. I do believe that this thing that's happening in Mexico will either result in a revolution or a revival. And we're praying for a revival. So you pray that God will touch people's hearts. We know that if we're in the center of God's will, we're much more protected there than anywhere in the United States. And so pray for Melissa. And once she learns how to drive, she'll do good in Mexico. And pray for us. And we thank you. A wonderful Christmas offering. And we praise the Lord for Worth Baptist Church. We're very proud to represent you in Mexico. Listen as I read the word, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east of Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he went and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they came, or when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for your gift to us as sinners. We didn't deserve a gift. But that's not the reason you gave. You gave us Jesus Christ because you loved us. And Lord, help us with the love that you have poured out into our hearts. Share with others your love during this season. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Someone was telling me before services, not to preach in Spanish, and I said, "I'll try not to." When I'm in Mexico, I read my Bible in Spanish, I pray in Spanish, I study in Spanish, and this is the first time I've gotten an English Bible out. Well, really, the second time. I got one out last night and tonight. And it's a little bit different and difficult. So if you'll pardon me, and I have got my official translator here with me, my wife. So if I say something in Spanish, she'll just holler it out in English. And we'll be okay. In our reading, we really have two attitudes in Christmas. We have the world's attitude and what should be the Christian's attitude in Christmas. And I want to see three differences in these attitudes as we go through the scripture this evening. First of all, I want us to see that there is a difference in whom they followed. Verse 1 and 2, now Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. And behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. See, the wise men followed God's guidance. And they were following his guidance because they believed what Micah 5:2 said about his birth. Now, we too as Christians should be following the Lord Jesus Christ. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not upon thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You see, they were willing to follow the star. And we should be willing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice that they lost sight of the star when they started inquiring of men. Look in verse 2, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now if you'll go to verse 9, and when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. It seems to me, in these verses of scriptures, that somehow or another, they lost sight of that star when they started asking men. And I want you to know that you too and I too will lose sight of what God wants us to do. If we will put our sights on what man says and what other people say. I like Psalm 119 and verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And look at verse 10 in our scripture. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. And I want you to note that when you and I get our eyes off of Jesus, get our eyes off of his word, yes, we will be troubled. And we will be confounded by the suggestions and the what other people tell us, whatever that is in English. But if we will keep our eyes on the Word and on the Lord, then we don't have to worry about who to follow and how to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the wise men were following God. But Herod and his scribes, although they already knew the prophecy of Micah, they didn't understand it. And 1 Corinthians 2:14 tells us that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto them. And I imagine that some of the scribes and Pharisees knew the prophecy that Jesus Christ would be born of a virgin. Knew that he would be born in Bethlehem, but still it didn't register. Even when the wise men came and the scribe said, yes, in Bethlehem he's supposed to be born, it still did not register. And you see, people from the world are different than Christians because of whom they follow. You and I as Christians should follow Christ, just as the wise men followed the star. And you and I as Christians must not follow what men say, must not follow the philosophy and the way this world system is telling us to follow them. And so the difference in whom Herod and the wise men followed was that the wise men knew him, and Herod and the scribes knew only of him. Then I want you to notice the second difference I see between those of the world and Christians who follow Christ. It's not only who we follow, but whom we worship. Christians follow Christ and worship him Look at verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. They had come to do just that. In verse 3 it says, verse 2, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and come to worship him. By the way, why are you here tonight? If you have come to hear the preaching, if you have come to hear singing, if you have come because it's a social thing to do, because, well, mom and dad are visiting, we gotta show up in church. Or have you come to worship Christ? You see, in verse 11, they see Jesus and Mary, and then they worshiped him, not them. In Mexico, December the 12th is the day of the Virgin of Guadalupe, which is one of the many ways that Mary supposedly has appeared around the world. And those of us that live or have lived in Mexico know the idolatry, know the a terrible way that really Christmas starts with an adoration of Mary. And it continues until January the 6th with an adoration of the wise men. But Jesus is way back in the back corner. One of the main churches in Monterey, you have, it's called La Purísima, and you have the 12 apostles right above the doorway, then Jesus on a cross, and up high on the steeple, Mary. And that is exactly what a lot of people believe today around the Catholic world. And if you don't think that, you don't know the Catholic doctrine. Mary is a great part of that doctrine. And is so great, she is put on a pedestal because since she's the mother of God, they say, she can pull on his heartstrings and get him to do things that Jesus could not even do. And that is blasphemy. They worshiped him, Jesus Christ. There's no one else worthy of worship. Jesus Christ is the only one whom we should worship. There is one God and one mediator, not two, not three, not five. This world will tell you if you're just sincere, then your belief will be okay. No, if we saw it, our streets were filled with dances towards in honor of the Virgin Mary, and they will pay men and women to dress up as Indians, and these people will even drug themselves to be able to withstand all the hours and hours and hours of dancing in honor of Mary. And they think that this will get them closer to God. But my friend, it doesn't matter how sincere you are. It doesn't matter how honest you are about your sincerity. If you are wrong, you are sincerely wrong. The Bible says there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Excuse me. There used to be a place where there's water in here. Not enough water in there, under there. That's water. Excuse me. Excuse me. Now in Mexico, while we start preaching, the usher comes and leaves a glass of water for you. So, you know, I used to think, well, there used to be a pulpit, and under the pulpit they had the glasses of water. And it's not there anymore. This is a different pulpit. Okay, well, excuse me. After that that interruption, that announcement. So there's a difference in who they follow. There's a difference in who we worship. The lost follow after many gods. And Romans 1:25 says that they have changed the truth of God into a lie. And that is exactly what happens in Mexico and in many other countries. Herod and the was a Roman heathen. He did not believe in God, but he was scared that his kingdom would be in jeopardy. And that is what kept him from really searching Christ. What keeps you from receiving Christ as your Savior? What God would keep you from that? Sometimes it's the God of wealth. Sometimes it's the God of a job. Many things keep people from really seeing Christ. And I hope that we as Christians can keep Christ in Christmas. And not only tell others Merry Christmas, but I hope that we can really present Christ, who's the gift of God, to us during this time. Then lastly, I want you to notice the third thing I see. There's a difference not only in who they follow and who they worship, but how they worship. You see, in the three gifts in verse 11, the wise men gave three different types of gifts. I really believe that it was much more than three wise men. In Mexico, they even have them named, but they're not named in the Bible. They have them coming in an elephant, in a camel, and in a horse. And that's the custom in Mexico. And they have them named. Gaspar, Melchor, and something else. I can't remember. Haven't checked lately. But I really believe that there were many wise men to make Jerusalem get in a upheaval. Look in verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. I don't think it was just three coming in an elephant and a camel and a horse. I think they had a whole entourage. They were carrying precious gifts. They were carrying gold. And gold speaks of deity. And true worship accepts Jesus Christ as God. They were carrying frankincense. And frankincense speaks of the purity and fragrance of Christ's life. Let me tell you something. That frankincense speaks of Jesus Christ not only as our sweet-smelling order of sacrifice to God, but of his spotless life. He was tempted in all points, Hebrews 4:15 says, yet without sin. He was offered myrrh. And myrrh was an odd gift. It was a spice used to bury people. You see, these wise men knew that Jesus Christ, if he was going to be our Savior, he had to die for our sins. It did not matter if he lived a perfect life and did not die. You see, that is why Mary cannot be our Savior. Because Mary did not shed her blood for us. But Jesus Christ, the spotless one, did. He shed his blood for our salvation. You see, Luke proclaims that Mary also thought that he was coming to die for our sins because she wrapped him in swaddling clothes made for burial. So you see, these wise men knew that Jesus Christ was going to die for their sins. It's not only who you worship, but how you worship him. You have to accept that Jesus is God. Not a God, like the Mormons would say, but is God. Jesus not only is God, but was God made flesh and lived amongst us and never sinned. He was a perfect Lamb of God. But not only was he the perfect Lamb of God, but he died for our sins and rose again. You see, on Christ's second coming, there will be gold offered him because he is still God. There will be frankincense offered him because he still is the perfect man of God. But they will not be offering him myrrh because he will never die on another Calvary. He only died once for our sins. Now the lost do not worship as we do. The lost will use scriptures. Look in verse 4 to 6. And when he had gathered the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ would be born. And they sent unto him in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. You see, they knew what the scripture said. And today even, there will be people on the radio and TV that will quote scripture, and you'll think, my, they must be Christian. No, they like to use the Bible, but they do not really believe it. They will even falsely profess Christ. Look what Herod said in verse 8. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. When ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. I tell you that any worship that is not the worship how God wants us to worship is not worship at all. It's idolatry at its best. It is blasphemy, but it is not worship. When you kneel before an idol, whether it be Buddha, whether it be the Virgin Mary, whether it be Mohammed, you are not worshiping God. You're worshiping an idol, and the Bible says that those idols are demons. So there is a difference in how we worship. Ultimately, just like Herod, look in verse 16, and we'll finish with this verse. The world will not only not follow Christ, will not worship him, but ultimately they'll try to get rid of him. Look in verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked by the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and set forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. You see, the lost, if they do not receive Christ, the Christ who is God, the Christ who is the perfect Lamb of God, the Christ who died for our sins and shed his blood for us, if they do not receive that Christ, ultimately, they would rather do away with Jesus Christ. If you're not saved, I hope that you will turn to Christ. He is the only one that can save you. If you are saved, I want to ask you, are you following him? Are you really following him? Doing what he wants in your life? For every head bowed and every eye closed, Father, thank you for your many blessings. And thank you for Jesus Christ, who did come. We're not sure if it's the 25th of December, but that's not the important thing. The importance is that he did come. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you that he died on the cross for our sins. Thank you that he rose again. We would pray just as the last prayers in the Bible. Even so, come now, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your love. Help us to follow you. In Jesus' name.